Good morning.
I wanted to thank you for coming to hear about our Haiti trip, and we also are so thankful for the prayers that you extended for our team and this mission before, during, and after the trip. I want to give you a short timeline of what the trip looked like, and then our team is going to just come up and share some highlights of the trip. Sunday, we had a long travel day that ended in the Miami airport with everyone sleeping on the floor. Monday, we flew into Port-au-Prince and then visited the job site preparing for the next day. Tuesday through Friday were work days spent building relationships with the people of Jean-Tendu. Saturday was half a day at Bois-Neuf and then half a day at Jean-Tendu finishing up, and that evening we prepared for the rice mission that we were going to do the next afternoon. Sunday, we worshiped with our Haitian brothers and sisters, took rice, oil, and the gospel out to the elderly and back to Jean-Tendu then that afternoon for a dedication of the church. Monday was part of a work day and then preparing to come home. Tuesday was a long travel day also, starting at 4 a.m. and ending the next day at approximately 1:30 a.m. Justin, will you come and pray for us, please?
Let's bow our heads. Holy Heavenly Father, Lord, you are so good to us. You are faithful when we are not. You are mercy. You are grace. You are sovereign in all things. You support us. You provide for us. You lead us where you would have us to go. You bring divine appointments to us. Father, we pray that we would just be faithful and obedient to work in those appointments the way that you would have us to do, that we would glorify you. Father, this morning we are going to speak some about the trip that you led for this team in Haiti. Many things that happened, the highs that we saw, the lows that we encountered. Father, we just pray that you were glorified and honored in all that was done, and we pray that you would be glorified and honored in all that is said and done here today, that your gospel would be shared. We praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. I'd like to start off by saying thank you to all of you for donating and making this trip possible. Thank you for keeping us in your prayers as well, because nothing went horribly wrong. My favorite part of the trip was seeing the beautiful scenery in Haiti. Haiti's a beautiful country, and it doesn't take away from the people in need. Every time I go, it's always hard to see the kids whose parents send them to the streets to beg. One night, when we were gathering groceries, we saw a few kids with their hands out. While we were inside, one of the kids got in and tapped on my arm and pointed to milk in the refrigerator. And before I could even do anything, one of the workers escorted him out the door. Pastor ended up giving them some money, but they fought over it, and that was hard to see because as a kid, I've never had to beg for food or any needs. But on a higher note, going to church on Sunday is always an amazing experience. To see all these Haitians stand with their hands in the air, praising the same God as we do, is a beautiful thing to see. Everyone, and I mean everyone, was swaying or bouncing to the music there. There was a woman in front of us who had a baby laying on her lap, but she still had her hands in the air praising God, and seeing how much passion they put in their voices, it just made me smile because they sincerely love worshiping God. The song at the beginning lasted a solid 10 minutes, and it seemed like they got stronger the longer they sang it. But what really stood out to me was that when they were giving offering, the song 10,000 Reasons was playing in their language, and I find it so amazing that a song about worshiping God that we sing in the little town of Concordia could also be sang in Haiti. And I absolutely love that we were able to sing along in our language with them. I 10 out of 10 recommend going to church in Haiti. Thank you again for all that you do.
Good morning. For those of you who knew my mom, know that she had a passion for taking pictures. So on this trip to Haiti, I had the blessing of taking her camera with me. While there, I used the camera to capture many beautiful moments that happened. This was a real blessing to me because the children always loved to take their pictures and look at them after to see what they look like. It was also a blessing because having the camera with me was a way to help me communicate with them because I cannot speak their language.
I want to thank you all for letting me go on this trip. I was very, very nervous about going, but once I got there, it was shown to me that I was in the right place. Haiti is a beautiful, beautiful place. It was a wonderful experience, but yet horrific at the same time to see the poverty and everything there was to see. But the people there are amazing. Highlights for me were the interactions with the children. While the men were working, we would assist them when they needed help. But we had a lot of time to spend with the children. There's always onlookers as the projects are going on. There's people that show up from all around. And so there were lots of children that we got to be with, from playing ball with them. And that could kind of get a little out of hand. We throw the ball to somebody, and then they start fighting over it. And so there comes a point you have to say, we're done. But we also worked on some hand games with the kids. And, of course, lots of hugs. Then I finally figured out how to say chante, which means sing. And so they were singing to us as well, which was a joy. And then they taught us how to count. And, of course, they loved getting their picture taken. Like Sierra was saying, they could not get enough of the cameras. And so if they could get it off of her neck or off of my hand, they wanted to see, and they wanted to take pictures as well. And they wanted to see what they look like. Another huge blessing for me was the rice mission. We bagged about 1,000 pounds. We would break them up into 6-pound bags, and we prepared those on Saturday night, and then we took them out Sunday after church, after lunch, actually. There is no program for the elderly in Haiti, and so seeing the conditions that these elderly are living in, it was truly heart-wrenching, to say the least. Many times when we showed up, we would have to wait before we entered because they would be having to get dressed, because they typically don't get dressed. So waiting for our turn, but then going in and seeing the conditions that they're living in, but yet they were just joyful to see us. And some bounced around and some were telling jokes, and it was just an amazing experience. They were so joyful to not just get the rice, but the prayer. They were ready for the prayer, most of them. I think Tracy's going to talk about one that we had a long conversation with. We also encountered a group of young men who are practicing voodoo. And to see our men talking to them and working with them about trying to figure out what they believe, and then trying to talk to them about how we believe in Jesus Christ. It was a sad thing, but it was also a neat thing to see. The terrible living conditions, though, it's just beyond what you can imagine. And it was just a blessing to be able to go. So, thank you.
Good morning. I was going to talk to you about the church we built at John Tun 2. Monday, after unpacking and inventorying the tools that we had to work with, we went to visit the new site, since it had changed from the year before. And we were able to get the site squared up and the holes marked for where the post holes would go for the new building. We also checked our elevation. As close as we could tell, we was about 32 inches off from one side to the other. So that was our challenge. The second day, Pastor had told us, the first day tried to lay out a plan for what we was going to start with. And Tuesday then, Pastor had told us they needed a couple pieces of metal welded for the outhouse. Well, by the time we got there, we ended up putting the whole building up, which kind of bummed us out because our plans were changed, but we were exactly at the spot that God wanted us to be. by around 2 p.m. then we got started on the building. We got our pattern for the truss and legs built that day and kind of a plan worked out for the next. Wednesday, we built the other four trusses and leg sets for the building, and we had them done by noon. Pastor had went to get some paint, so the ladies were also painting metal for the purlings. After lunch, we started setting our first truss, which is always the hardest and most critical to get set right. By the end of the day, we had completed three truss sets. The Haitians were able to get the concrete poured around the legs and the holes that we had set. On day four, we set the other two trusses and was able to get all the permanent wind bracing up in the morning. The ladies were right behind us painting as we went. At noon, the Haitians were able to fill the last four holes for the building, and the rest of the day was spent welding on the purlings. On the roof, we had gotten all those done and were starting on the sidewalls. By Friday, we finished all the welding on all the purlings on the sidewalls and on the end walls. In between and in the rain, we also were able to get the roof sheeted and started on the sidewalls in between the rain. We all were wet and a muddy mess by the end of the day. Then Saturday, we needed to work at Boyne F to allow that to dry so we could get up there. We worked till noon at Boyne F, and then we went up and finished up at Jeanton. I thank you for all your prayers and support, and thanks be to God.
Good morning. This trip, my devotion was out of 1 John 4, verses 7 and 8. And it says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love." These verses talk about relationships and how we're brought closer to God when we make relationships. And when we don't show love for one another, we are set apart from Him. My goal this trip was to make relationships. When we were up at Jeanton 2, I met a little girl named Vitaly. Every day she came running to us and she sat by my side every day for hours. We played games and I taught her how to say "Jesus loves you" in English. And on Friday, I decided to wear sunglasses. She decided she really liked those and she now has a pair of her own sunglasses. Friday afternoon, it rained, and we were all in the church. There was a tarp on the ground, and Vitaly and I sat down. Not long after that, she was laying on top of me, and she was asleep for about an hour, so we just laid there. I pray that I will be able to go back and see Vitaly and how she's grown, and then continue to watch her grow. Thank you.
Good morning. You all thought you were going to get out of here early. And then I stood up. No, I'm kidding. I'm not going to be up here that long. It was tasked to me to talk about Sunday because everybody else kind of chose what they wanted to do, and I just waited until the leftovers were passed out. And so I get to speak about Sunday. Sunday was... Sunday was interesting because I had the highest high that I think I've ever had in Haiti, and this was my sixth trip, something like that. So I had the highest high that I've ever had, and I also missed out on a major blessing because I couldn't get out of my own head when we were doing some of the other things that were happening. Sunday morning, I was asked to preach. I was asked to preach before Sunday morning, but on Sunday morning, that's what I did. And before we left, Pastor wanted to make sure that he made it clear to me that the gospel was shared and that I did not water it down. And I just kind of laughed at him, like, do you know who you're talking to? I tell four-year-olds at Awana they're going to hell if they don't repent and believe. I'm not going to water it down. But this was the first time that I had ever had to kind of prepare old school for a sermon, because I've preached a couple other times, but I'm able to use computer software that can get me from A to B to C to D just in this manner. And I didn't have that this time, so I actually had to spend time really studying and looking things up and reading and getting to understand what was really being spoken. And so, whether they liked it or not, the gospel was shared with them. Lots of bad news was delivered, and not as much as I had even intended, because it takes a whole lot longer for a sermon to flow when you have to stop every three sentences to allow the translator to say it in their language. So you feel like you're getting into something, and then you got to stop and let him talk, because I would run away with the whole thing, and then he'd have to try to remember three paragraphs worth of stuff, and it just wouldn't work. But as Tara stated, watching worship there is an entirely different experience than it is here. It really is. And it's not necessarily better or worse. It's just entirely different. There is much less conservatism in the way they worship. They don't stand like this to sing and sing and then sit down. Like Tara said, it's all this number. Just everybody just smiling, doing this number. When they're praying, the prayer will start out kind of at this level. And as they start to pray, it'll kind of get to this level. And by the time they're done, they're just yelling at God, asking him for everything that they're coming to him for. It is an entirely different experience. During prayer, the one who is at the microphone is praying, but everybody else that is out there is praying as well. But they're praying aloud. So there are 300 voices all at the same time praying to God. And people are on their knees, on their faces, on their seats, praying to God. It is just such a much different experience than what we witness here. And it is a blessing to be able to see that, to be able to see how other people worship, but to know that they are worshiping the same God that we are worshiping here. They're saying the same things to the same God. And it's just a beautiful thing. So we get through the service. We go on the rice mission that Donna talked about. And during the rice mission, I was kind of in my own head and didn't experience that the way that I probably should have. And that really was a low for the day, because you are out amongst these elderly people who have nothing, who don't have a nursing home to go to, who don't have a welfare system to lean on. They're out there just with themselves. And if no one brings them food, then it's likely they're not going to eat. And to see that and not really feel what I thought I should have felt was hard for me. But at the same time, or on the flip side of that, we get up to Jonton, where the new church was erected. And that was the highest high I've ever had in Haiti. To know that we finished that church on Saturday, and Sunday morning they were in there worshiping. Doesn't have doors, doesn't have the screen they want, dirt floor. They didn't care. They were in there. They had this new building, and they were ready to worship. And then while we were up there Saturday afternoon, they had different people come up and kind of give testimony about why they were so appreciative of this building. And it was hard to hear people speaking about how other churches would make fun of them because they didn't have a building to worship in, telling them they were fools to stay under the tree that they were under and to do these things, you know, to have a tarp to kind of hide yourself from the shade, but you don't get to worship when it's raining. And to make fun of them for that, to hear them sharing their heart that way was very difficult. But at the same time, to see the joy in their eyes and to hear the thankfulness in their voices, Haiti is very humbling. So when we went back up there that afternoon, they had chairs lined up in the front for us to sit in. Like, we deserve to be sitting in the front of the church. We came and we worked and we built, but we want it to be in the back. Don't look at us, because it doesn't have anything to do with us. No. You're going to sit in the front of the church where everybody can see you and, you know, look at you and talk about you and talk to you and whatever it is. So it's very humbling. And then they began to sing for us. And I wept like a baby. I've never done that before. I wept like a baby because of the beauty with which they felt. It wasn't so much the music or the voices, but you could see the thankfulness, the how grateful they were, knowing that they were patient. They listened, and here they are seeing fruits of that. And so their faith increased because this church was built. Their faith increased because they waited. They were patient. And finally, really, the thing that kind of put me over the top is that when the church was down at the bottom of the hill, they had 30-ish people probably that would come and worship. People had left because they got tired of being made fun of and would go to other churches or just quit going at all because they didn't want to hear it anymore. But when we were up there that Sunday afternoon, Tracy and Donna began kind of a head count to see where we were at, and there were roughly 150 people in there when we were there. And right at half of those were children. This church is young and vibrant, and so long as they are led, they are going to grow and grow. And this church is going to see fruit that we probably won't see here. It is incredible. I wish we had the youth here that they have there. It is amazing to look forward and see how something has the potential to really, really be used of God and these kids' lives. Now they don't have to deal with the name calling and the being made fun of. And it seems like a blessing, and it is. But the people who were there that whole time persevered, and they felt something different when this was built. And so my prayer really is that they will not take this for granted now, that they will allow themselves to be used of God and not be prideful because of the new building that happened. But they will live the same way they've been living and allow God to use them the way that He used the elderly that are there, that have been there from the beginning. Thank you.
I'm going to talk to you a little bit about a little piece of the Rice Mission, and it is always a blessing to go out on any of the Rice missions we do, but since we've been going for to visit the elderly in their homes, like Donna talked about, I talked to you about 2.5 years ago about some of these guys. We go into their homes, and there we met Frere Pai, which means Brother Pai, and he is bouncing on his bed. He is so thankful that the Lord has sent us to him that he cannot contain his bouncing, and he's praising God the whole time we're there. So that's always amazing to see. Exante is another one. He likes to laugh and joke, but the minute that he knows that Pastor is there, he is praising the Lord, and that it is an awesome blessing to be able to be a part of. I'd like to read the Great Commission to you. I think I read this almost every time I'm up here, but Matthew 28:16-20 says, "But the 11 disciples proceeded to Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had designated. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some were doubtful. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I commanded to you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age.'" Back in 2014, it came about in conversation that the MOV ministry was caring for about 28 elderly in the community around 1F. By January of the next year, that number had doubled. In July 2015, Sierra and I were sent down laden with supplies and resources to visit the elderly in their homes. We took them rice, oil, and beans, shared the gospel with them, and prayed with them. On that mission, as we were out to the furthest house from the road, I remember praying, "God, if I could do this for the rest of my life, I would." This is when we met Mazilia. Pastor and Madame Veillon had been witnessing and ministering to her for a long time. She wanted nothing to do with the gospel or with Jesus Christ. We asked her to come to church that Sunday. Her response was that she didn't have a dress. We sent a dress back for her right away. Sunday morning, I watched and watched for her. She didn't come. Later, I found out that she had sent her son in her place in case we wanted to send something to her. On January 2016, we went back telling her every reason we could possibly think of and sharing God's love with her. She was having no part of it. For 2.5 years, I've prayed for Mazilia, sent people to her, took teams to see her, all who have shared the gospel with her. Pastor Marcel and Madame Veillon, visiting her every other week at least for the last 2.5 years. This time, as I rode with Pastor Marcel, we talked about Mazilia and her son. He had come to Christ in that 2.5 years and then passed away this last September. As for Mazilia, he told me that he had not lost hope for her because God can do great things, but that she was still pretty closed off. My heart hurt for her. Mazilia is very old and very frail, and it is devastating to have someone die not knowing the Lord, especially the ones that you know are adamant about rejecting him. People ask us all the time why we go back to the same places over and over and over again. The Lord sends us to those same places over and over and over again to build relationships. I'm not just talking about this team or the teams that we've taken back. Pastor and Madame Veillon continually go to see Mazilia. She is hard. Her home is out of the way, but they keep going to build that relationship. As we stood at Mazilia's house this trip, pouring our hearts out with the good news, 5 young boys gathered around. One came forward right away. He was ready to follow the Lord, or that's what he told us. Pastor bantered with the others, refuting whatever they came up with the promises of God. One by one, they quieted and fell into the line of our circle. Pastor turned back and said, "Mezzi," to Mazilia, and asked her if she was ready to turn her life over to the Lord. With a barely audible "oui," which means yes in French, or Creole. My tears started to pour. Six people standing in that circle made a statement of faith. I'm going to ask you to pray with us that that seed takes hold and all of them start to live their lives for the Lord. This is why the Lord sends the same people to the same places over and over and over again. I am so grateful to be one of those people and to be a part of this body. I am so grateful for your obedience, for your prayers, your love, and your support to be able to be a part of that. Thank you very, very, very much. Connor.
Can we just take up the rest of the time? I'm supposed to talk about the trusses at 1F. We finished the church up at Jonathan 2, and our second project was to construct trusses. There's a 30 by 80 classroom at 1F down on National 1 that sits right beside the big church. It actually was the old church at 1F, and now is used. I think, I believe there's two, if not three, classrooms in it now. And we felt behind schedule. I did all week, and because when we got to Jolenton, we had to build the outhouse. But when you think, when you realize where you're at, and when your wife needs to use the restroom, you make a priority getting the outhouse built. Not that she wouldn't go in the bushes, but she would have had probably 30 Haitian children watching. So, so for her sake and the sake of everybody's humility, we focused on the outhouse and got that done. It's amazing to me how the ingenuity of the Haitians and how we're there to come alongside them and help them build this church. And yes, we ramrodded it and we built it, and to God be all the glory in that. But it's just an amazing experience to be there and to be alongside them. So these trusses at Bonnef, anyway, Pastor got us some. Usually work with 2-inch angle iron. And this year we worked with the 2-inch angle iron at Jonathan, and then we used some light gauge 1x2 tubing, and which was a little challenging to weld, and just different for us. So we had to, you know, come up with different, you know, methods or processes and stuff. So it was learning for all of us. The trusses we made out of 2x4 tubing. They span 32 feet, one angle, and I often go. Wondering what we would do without Mike Leffler there, and I don't mean to be putting him on the spot. To God be the glory that he's there, but he has a analytical ability and a gift for that stuff in planning and in carrying out, and then it's just down to me and Justin and the rest of the team to get it carried out. And like I said, I don't want to give Leffler, I don't want to give you any glory in that, but to God be the glory in that. But, and you know what I mean by that. So, we got these trusses built. We built three of them Saturday morning, and we're in the old, they tore half of the roof off of this old classroom, and then we feel like we're in a mirrored box, basically. It's about 100 degrees in there, but we got three of them built, and went back up to Jonathan on Saturday and finished that church, and then came back, and then Monday morning, then we finished building the rest of the trusses. We had two welders there, and Pastor has elders from other churches come. Gedzie is one that was with us when we put the roof on the church at Bataille. He's an elder at a church in Charette. If you've been to Haiti and been to Food Mission in the school at Charette, he's an elder in that church. And he was running the other welder. And I struggled to keep up in quality and quantity, but he's a pretty good welder. Then Wesley was another elder that was there helping us. He was at Jonathan some too, and he helped us there. And then Pastor Marcel's brother John was there helping us at 1F build the trusses. We got those done by about 2 o'clock, 1:30 on Monday afternoon. And our intent was to get them hung and the roof system on, and we did not have time to do that. And I sincerely apologize for that, because that was our plan. But the God made it clear throughout that was what we got done, what we were to get done. A little bit more about my highlights of the trip. One was taking Donna with me. It was a blessing to see her interact with the children. And she's a baby magnet, And it is a God-given gift to minister the gospel to young people. And to see that was amazing. Not to mention everybody else's God-given gifts, to watch him bring those out on them while we were there. And then working on projects in general, I'm a builder by nature, and so it's just a blessing to me to have the ability to use that for the God at times instead of just my banker. Sometimes it's very much a blessing to be able to do that for the Lord. And then preaching the gospel and even defending it on our food mission, we preach the gospel and to God be the glory in that also. But I don't even know if I should talk about. We made a loop through the poor areas of Bonnef, and you saw some of the houses they were sitting in, you know, just stick frames. Some of the parts of the houses eroded where the mud has come off, and inside are these people that live there. And this is a little bit, I'm going to skip forward a little bit and then I'll come back, but we're taking some food to these elderly people, and we're praying with them, and Madam V, which is the head cook and really evangelist at 1F, a bigger lady, you know, but she's bubbly, great personality, and it's amazing to watch her. She was evangelizing, had her rice and her oil in her bag, and it was a Victoria's Secret bag. You know, it's just something she found, and it was pink, and so it accented her, you know, whatever, you know, and so, but she carried that with pride as we walked through the slums of Bonnef, you know, and I was often wondering what, if I should explain to her what Victoria's Secret meant or not, but I knew it would only be to my detriment, probably. So anyway, that aside, not to say there weren't fun moments, because there were fun moments, God, I mean, God glorifying moments, but there were hard moments too. But we'd minister to these elderly people, and Madam V motions me to take a set of oil and rice around this building, and I couldn't figure out why she was just sending me. And I get around the end of the corner of the building, and here squats a 85-year-old man, and he's got a shirt on, nothing else, and he's sitting there in the dirt like this, you know. And I don't know if he could see or not. I don't know if he was sick or not, but he just, I laid the rice in his hand and prayed with him for a little bit and told him God bless him. And that rice mission is a pretty powerful thing, not just for the people that it's going to, but the people that are delivering it. And to God be any glory in that. But back up a little bit. We went to Missoula, and the boys, they accepted Christ as Lord and Savior, and we were coming back out through that area of houses, and here sit six boys that were almost waiting for us to come out. They knew what we were doing. And I don't know if Pastor started the conversation, Marcel, or whether the boys did. And they basically flat out said they were voodooists and they weren't ashamed of it and were stupid for believing what we believe. And so thus ensued about a 20-minute conversation that wasn't without emotion. It didn't get violent, thank goodness, by the grace of God. But these boys had been, they knew as much about Scripture as a lot of American Christians I know. You know, they didn't want to worship a God that was going to tell in Old Testament times to go into a land and destroy every man, woman, and child, which God commanded when the Jews were to enter the promised land. They weren't going to worship a God like that. And so we tried to refute that and saying, you know, God also made his chosen people wander for 40 years when they wouldn't have faith and sent spies in, you know, the night before he was to lead them into the promised land. And they would say things like, well, the 400 silent years after the end of the Old Testament, before coming of Christ, those are the books we study, you know, in voodoo, blah, 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 you know. And we tried to explain to them that the 400 silent years was to prepare the way for Christ. it was just, it was an amazing thing. These kids had been, you know, to a degree brainwashed. And we just, the first time I'd really had to really, you know, defend it, you know, at not an arrogant level, but at a not calm level. You know, it's easy to discuss it, you know, but when the kids are, you know, just flat out bringing it at you, you know, it's just hard to stay calm. And if you couldn't tell, I'm a little bit of a passionate person. So anyway, but so that was amazing to see God work in that, give us that divine appointment and to work through that. And then we also took a gift of rice and oil up to Jeanton when we left up there. on Sunday evening after they basically thanked us. And it was pretty amazing to see Pastor Warjess. He's probably in his early 30s. And to see him take hold of that church, you know, and lead them in worship. And it was just good to see that that he was pastoring his people, and which is what his commission is to do. And then I got to meet a couple of the elders, Meslev and Solong, or some of the Solong was there last year when we went to the church under the tarp down low. And it was good to see the recognition in his eyes when we showed up that first Monday. He was just excited, and then to have them thank us at the end of it. And like I said, to God be all the glory in that. But it was just a good thing. And that's all I got. You want me to pray? All right, so we are getting out of here early. So, but before we pray, I think we all should take time and praise God for him working through his gospel in this church and in the person of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit and the study of his word, that we are in a church that believes in missions, that believes in the advancement of the gospel, whether it be in Haiti or in Concordia. And that I personally praise God for this church and that they're not afraid to give. This was probably maybe one of the more expensive times we went to Haiti, and this church faithfully gave and faithfully prayed. And I don't want to give you any glory in that, and I hope you know what I mean in saying that, but I hope we can all glorify God for that today, the blessings he's given us, and give him all the glory and honor for what does occur, whether it be here in Awana on Wednesday night or in Haiti in that church in the furthering of the gospel. Let's go to him in prayer. Lord, we just come before you today praising you and thanking you for being a sovereign, holy, omnipotent, omnipresent God, full of mercy and grace, Lord, and extending us your mercy and your grace in the person of Jesus Christ for the salvation of our sins, from our sins, Lord. We just thank you for that, Lord. We just confess our sins and repent and believe today, Lord, that Christ is the only sacrifice for our sins. Lord, we just praise and thank you for working in our lives daily, convicting us of sin, empowering us to do your will in our lives, and give you all the glory. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, amen.